Welcome into Turf Show Times, the podcast. We're here with another installment of Last Minute Thoughts. I'm JB Scott, and with me every weekend is Blaine Grisak, where we cover everything you need to know 24 hours ahead of game time. And we're here in week six. The Rams are hosting the Carolina Panthers. And, let's set the table for this game. The Rams are 2-3. They've lost tough games to the Bills, 49ers, and Dallas Cowboys. And, they beat two middling teams in the Atlanta Falcons and the Arizona Cardinals. So we're not sure exactly who this Rams team is. They're riddled with injuries, and we're going to find out over the course of the next couple of weeks. So the Rams have a huge test in front of them, and this Carolina Panthers team, it's an absolute must-win game to get back to .500, head into the bye week, get on the mend, get a little bit healthy, and then host that division rival 49ers in week eight. So it's going to be pretty exciting. There's a lot to talk about today, Blaine, do you think the Rams' issues up to this point, where they've gotten to 2-3, are correctable? Or do you think this is just kind of who this team is? They're going to be up and down. They're going to eke into the playoffs. And, once you're in the tournament, you can go on a run.
It's kind of hard to answer, I think, even right now, just because, like you said, they're so riddled with injuries. Right now, they have a 38% chance to make the playoffs. On the outside looking in, I think losing last week kind of, it puts a much more importance on the need to sweep Arizona and Seattle in the division. And then they play Green Bay at Lambeau in December. That Green Bay is kind of in the same spot as Rams are right now. They're kind of looking a little bit mediocre. And Lambeau's not an easy place to play in December, but that might be a must-win game late in the season. And then they travel to New Orleans a couple weeks after the bye, so that's going to be a must-win as well. The Rams have put themselves in a tough spot. They've made their bed, and they kind of just have to lay in it now. And I kind of see the rest of the season kind of being up and down, because there's no gimmies in the second half of the schedule. That's for sure. It's going to be tough. And the best thing they can hope for, maybe they can make a trade that kind of gives them a spark, gives them a boost. And they got to hope that they can get healthy, and that also hopefully helps them out as well.
That's very fair. This offense has had a hard time putting up points. And whenever against the 49ers, you throw a pick six. And then against the Cowboys, you have both a fumble returned for a touchdown and a blocked punt that in total gave away 9 points. So that's just a lot for this offense to try to overcome at this point. Maybe once they get reinforcements, they'll be more explosive and be able to, get in the end zone a little bit more often. But certainly it's something to keep an eye on. But I don't think it's any coincidence that the Rams' worst offensive performances so far this season have come against teams with these aggressive pass rushes. So, week one against Von Miller, and then you have the game against Nick Bosa and the 49ers. Micah Parsons absolutely wrecked shop last week with the Cowboys. So does that give you optimism that, maybe you're not going to face these top level pass rushes every week? So you're going to get performances more like you had against the Falcons and Cardinals moving forward.
It does give me some confidence a little bit in when this group does eventually get healthy, because like you said, the Bills have one of the best pass rushes in the league. Von Miller's having a really good season. San Francisco, D'Amico Ryans is a great defensive coordinator, and that defense obviously has a lot of talent. Arguably the best defensive line in the NFL. And then Dallas, Dan Quinn is really good at drawing up stunts and twists and doing a lot of creative things. And that was kind of the case last week. There's just a lot of miscommunication going up on the offensive line. So when you're playing these coordinators like D'Amico Ryans, like Dan Quinn, that can do some creative things, it's going to make things really difficult for an offensive line that's not communicating very well and pretty inexperienced. But at the same time, I don't necessarily see the offensive line as being just I don't think you can put the 100% of the blame on the offensive line. I think there are things that the Rams can do to make things easier. I mean, you look at Miami, and that offensive line isn't very good. I think they rank dead last in pass blocking, according to Pro Football Focus. So, but one thing Miami does very well is they run a very good quick game. Mike McDaniel designs an offense that does a great job in creating those explosives at the yards after the catch. They run with two of their running a very high play action offense as well. And this is kind of like you traded for Stafford because of the arm talent, obviously. But I think another part of the reason why you traded from last year is because he's such a quick processor. And And you need to be quicker processing with a quick game. And I think that, you know, going into this bye week coming up, I kind of hope that McVay kind of implements some of the things Miami's doing, because I think it could be successful. And I think that's going to be key in them turning around this offense, because right now they're trying to fit a square peg in a round hole and it's not working.
That's very well said. And, you know, against the Cowboys, every time Matthew Stafford patted the ball, I just got a huge pit in my stomach. And you really don't have that luxury with this offensive line. And when you go empty, you have to get the ball out extremely quick. And that's, you know, really the benefit of going empty is that the defense is forced to, you know, tip their hand. So I think the Rams haven't really developed much of a quick game so far this year. And it's not something that they've done well overall with Stafford. So something to keep an eye on. We'll see if they can do it. But there's probably more important things to talk about this week. And, you know, that's the news of Cam Akers. And there's an ongoing situation that, you know, we're going to continue to keep you updated over at Turf Show Times. But Akers missed practice this week due to personal reasons. And then in his press conference yesterday, Sean McVay mentioned that, you know, not exact quote, but, you know, just in general, that the team's evaluating whether he can be, you know, a part of the roster moving forward. So he's going to be out for Sunday's game when the Rams are fighting to get back to 500, kind of get a clean start on the season. So you wrote an excellent article this week about how, you know, maybe Cam Akers is turning into Trent Richardson, you know, very low yards per carry type runner, left a lot of meat on the bone in terms of maybe picking the wrong holes, didn't have the vision. And your article is excellent, Blaine. You showed that, you know, this is the hole, or this is where the runner was going, but if he had the right vision, this is where he should have gone. And to pick up more yards on the field, maybe he was hurting the offense. So I think you have as good a feel as anyone for where this running game is headed. So tell us, what can we expect from, you know, Daryl Henderson, Malcolm Brown? I know there's the running back on the practice squad too. Maybe he is exciting to you in some ways, maybe not. Where's the running game go for here?
I think they kind of have to lean on Daryl Henderson, and honestly, he's been the best running back on the roster the season when he's gotten the carries. He's been a lot more decisive. He's built a lot bigger, so he does bounce off tacklers a little bit. His feet, he's not as elusive as maybe Cam Akers is, but he's definitely a better runner and definitely better at hitting those cutback lanes than Cam Akers has been this year. Because quite honestly, I showed in my article, you know, I mean, Trent Richardson was just infamous for missing these giant cutback lanes. And Akers had an egregious one last week against the Cowboys, but that certainly wasn't the only example this season. It's something that he's outside of the second half against the Cardinals. He hasn't been consistent in hitting those lanes. So I think that they lean on Henderson a little bit, which I think will be a good thing. Hopefully, you know, he's kind of dealt with some soft tissue injuries in his career, so hopefully he can he can stay healthy. But I also think that this is a team that also really likes what they got in Kyren Williams. I think he was supposed to have a pretty large role in week one before he got hurt on special teams. So, you know, moving forward, depending on what happens with Akers, if they cut him, trade him, if he stays on the roster, I do expect Kyren Williams to have a decent role once he comes back and gets healthy. And he should be coming back up, I think, soon after the bye, if not right after the bye. That kind of will be the 6 to 8 week mark on that high ankle sprain that he suffered against the Bills. So, I think those are the two guys you have to go with. Williams and Henderson. Malcolm Brown, I think, is a good, you know, a good veteran guy to have. He's good in pass pro, but I also have like maybe 3 to 5 years a game. Not someone that you can lean on as that bell cow per se. But, you know, and there's also the chance to potentially trade for running back. That's something that I'm not a huge fan of personally. Just, you know, I'm not all the way in the running backs don't matter camp, but I'm very much in, you know, you see these running backs all the time that take over for, you know, a Christian McCaffrey, you know, with the Panthers, you know, or in San Francisco, you have these sixth round picks that are, you know, like Elijah Mitchell, they're coming in and just absolutely tearing it up. And the Rams have spent so much draft capital on running backs. You know, 2019, they took Henderson in the third. The very next year, they take Akers in the second. The very next year, they trade a fourth round pick this year and a sixth round pick for Sonny Michel, who they didn't even re-sign. And that doesn't even mention John Kelly and Jake Funk, who they took late on day three. So they spent so much draft capital on running backs that I personally would prefer them just kind of stick with who they have on the roster. But there are options out there too, and Antonio Gibson, and you know, maybe like a Josh Jacobs, or even you know, Chris McCaffrey, if he becomes available, that they could look at. But personally, that's not an option that's not an avenue that I would go on personally.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, Josh Jacobs, he's been a great runner this year with the Raiders maybe a little farther behind in the standings than they expected coming into the year. I think that's maybe one of the more likely targets if the Rams do elect to go to trade. So, like you said, Kyren Williams will be back here in the next couple of weeks. But, you know, he broke his foot during mini camp, even before training camp. And then he has a high ankle sprain. So that's already two fairly significant injuries, and he hasn't even played his first NFL game yet. It's a lot to ask for him to come in midseason, but you know, the coaching staff really seems to, you know, think highly of him, and he probably has a role when he comes back. So, and the Rams also have Ronnie Rivers on the practice squad. I think he deserves to be named. And coincidentally, whether that's just bad timing or what, you know, the Rams cut Jake Funk this week, and now he's on the Saints practice squad. So I don't think the Rams really see Funk as an offensive player. I think he's mostly just a special teams contributor. But still, you would expect that the team would feel he's more ready than Ronnie Rivers to contribute right away. But just something to monitor. I'm not sure this running back room is going to be the exact same at the end of the year as it is right now. So we'll see how it shakes out. But overall, just in terms of the injury report for the Rams heading into this game, the offensive line, Brian Allen is still out. David Edwards, you know, suffered another concussion against Dallas. He's back in the concussion protocol. He's going to see the same concussion specialist that Brandon Cooks did back in 2019. So that offensive line still rehabbing. Maybe you see Matt Skura at center. Maybe at left guard you see Ode Abushi. But it sounds like it's going to be Jeremiah Colone and Bobby Evans yet again. Do you agree with that assessment, Blaine?
Unfortunately, I do agree with that assessment. It sounds like the Rams are going to go with Bobby Evans and Jeremiah Colone, which I'm going to have to make sure to stock up my liquor cabinet to watch that, but because it could be rough. I don't know why they would go. They're going with Evans and Colone. We'll see how they do. But you know, I know they want to build consistency and chemistry. But what's that worth if these guys clearly aren't good enough? You know, I think they're just kind of maybe looking to limp into the bye week, and hopefully Brian Allen's ready to go after them. That they can maybe hopefully maybe onboard Skira and Ibushi during the bye week. But yeah, I mean the Rams are gonna need these guys to play a lot better than they have the last week or so. If the Panthers defense is pretty good, so that these guys are going to have to play well.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much stock you put into PFF grades, and you know, it's a little bit lazy and maybe not fair to boil someone's performance down to a single number, but Bobby Evans is by far the Rams' worst graded offensive player, and Jeremiah Colone not too far behind him. So even change just for the sake of change and inserting different players in to try something new, it's hard to be worse than those two players have been so far this year. So I think the bar's incredibly low, and I agree with you. You know, it might be time to shake things up, but fully understand when to go into the bye week and evaluating those things over, because, you know, outside of Brian Burns, his Carolina Panthers pass rush might not be the one to affect you in any significant way. So, and then we move to the secondary. David Long Jr. seems like he's on his way back. Kobe Durant, he's been limited, maybe a week away, but, you know, I guess there's a chance he plays in this game. And Taylor Rapp with his ribs seems ready to return. So, and then maybe more concerning, but these guys are expected to play. So let me preface it with that. Aaron Donald, Tyler Higbee, and Cooper Kupp are listed as questionable. So Sean McVay fully expects them to play. I would expect to see them on the field. Maybe, you know, it's something to worth monitor whether they have a full load once they're on the field, but we'll see how things shake out. And of course, I mentioned that Akers is out due to personal reasons. So on the Panthers side, J.C. Horn is questionable, and there's some conflicting reports. In the morning, it sounds like he was expected to play and suit up, but then in the afternoon, they kind of pulled back from that. So the other starting corner, Dante Jackson, who is a free agent this year, I think highly of him. He's a pretty good zone corner. He's also questionable with an ankle. So quarterback Baker Mayfield is doubtful with an ankle injury. P.J. Walker is going to get the start. And, of course, you know, Sam Darnold was injured during the preseason. Walker is essentially their fourth string quarterback after they also drafted a quarterback this April. So notable, the Panthers fired head coach Matt Rhule this week, as well as their defensive coordinator, Phil Snow. Steve Wilks, who the Rams know from their division whenever he was the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, has stepped in as the interim for Carolina. So, Blaine, any notable standouts among these Panthers injury reports?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's huge that, you know, I was really actually looking forward to seeing J.C. Horn out there going up against Cooper Kupp. J.C. Horn's a really good outside inside corner. He will play in the slot. And he, when he goes, does move the slot, he's still very effective. So I was actually really looking forward to him and Kupp going up against each other. And so I think Rams kind of catch a break there. And over the last 2 weeks, I think Carolina ranks 27th in EPA per play against the pass on defense. So I think that this Carolina secondary without Horn will be something they can exploit.
How much stock do you put in, you know, with regime change, with, you know, getting Rule out the door, bringing in an interim head coach that everyone within the organization in Carolina seems to like? I know these things could be very unpredictable. Sometimes teams come out fired up. And they give you their best shot. Sometimes if you build a lead early, you know, they just emotionally quit on the game and you can really, you know, get an easy win out of it. So is it just fair to say that it's extremely unpredictable what's going to happen this game and an absolute must win for the Rams this week?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think it's definitely a little bit unpredictable. You know, like you said, I think it's going to be key to kind of, you know, get that early lead and put some doubt in the Panthers players' minds. I think I saw a stat this week, but in the last 5 years, I think four coaches have been fired in the within the first 6 weeks, and the interim coach won their very next game, all four of them. So that's something to keep in mind, that, you know, these players, you know, they're going to come to play. I think this week, I think you're going to see a different Panthers team than you have the last couple of weeks to start the season. You know, they bring in a new coach, a new voice that can sort of, like, I think bring some fire and bring some more energy than what was there. So I think, you know, it is going to be important to get that early lead. I think if you go down again 9-0 like you did last week after a sack fumble, scoop and score and a blocked punt, I think that puts you in a lot of trouble. So need to avoid that and stick to your game, because I think that's just going to beat this Panthers team.
Yeah, in the same vein of what I said about Evans and Colone, you know, Baker Mayfield, regardless of his performance in recent seasons, you know, he was good with Freddie Kitchens and with Greg Robinson as his left tackle. So, and then this has been by far his worst season. He just looked totally inept. So, in the same vein as what I said about Evans and Colone, you know, PJ Walker, just for the sake of being different, could potentially be an upgrade in this game. I think it's something worth keeping an eye on. He played in 5 games last year in 2021, making one start against the Arizona Cardinals. In that game, he attempted 29 passes, completed about 75% of those for 167 yards and a touchdown. And, you know, he's not necessarily a rushing threat, so you're not going to see him put up yards on the ground. Blaine, I guess, out of Christian McCaffrey, who's one of the more, he just averages like I believe 65 rushing yards, about 38 receiving yards per game. So he's right at the 100-yard mark. He scored 3 touchdowns this year. Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore are formidable receivers. So who scares you on this Carolina offense?
I mean, DJ Moore is a really underrated wide receiver. I think in a better offense, he'd definitely be in that top 10, top 15 conversation. He's probably in that top 15 conversation anyway. So I do think the Rams kind of have to keep him in check a little bit, but I mean, this offense goes as Christian McCaffrey goes. I think the defense can't allow a big explosive run play like they have the last 2 weeks. That can't happen. You know, but last week they're up 10-9 against Dallas, and on that very next drive is the drive that the Pollard scores that long touchdown. You can't give an offense with their fourth string quarterback some energy and momentum with an explosive play like that. And for what it's worth, I mean, PJ Walker, one of his wins as a starting quarterback did come against Matthew Stafford in Detroit. So he's. I think it's very similar to last week with Cooper Rush. You have to keep the Panthers in third and long situations and keep them in those path like the situation, so that PJ Walker has to beat you with his arm, because I don't think he can do it. So as long as you keep this game a little bit out of reach and don't put them in a comfortable situation, I think that they'll be in good shape.
Yeah, I agree with you that it all starts with McCaffrey. And, you know, there's some things the Rams can do that if you take away Walker's safety blanket and, you know, you take out those quick outlet passes to McCaffrey and the catch and runs and the screen game and such, I think Bobby Wagner and Ernest Jones are going to be really important in that regard. So if you can force Walker into those third and longs, you might be able to force him into mistakes. And that's something you didn't really do against Cooper Rush last week, even though he gave you opportunities, you just didn't come away with the ball. So, you know, I think both Ernest Jones and Bobby Wagner had opportunities last week. Grant Haley maybe even dropped a pick. So Darion Kendrick, maybe it was, but you had opportunities last week. You didn't take advantage of them. Hopefully you do against Walker here this week. So let's go to the other side of the ball, talk about the Rams offense. So Brian Burns, this Carolina Panthers pass rush, how do they match up against Rob Havenstein, Joseph Noteboom, and, you know, who else can really attack in this game?
I think you do have to put most of your focus on Brian Burns. He ranks top five in pressures among edge players. I think Matt Iodinus ranks 11th in pressures among defensive linemen. So I think he's kind of a someone you have to keep an eye on a little bit. And I mean, this is defense that they can play. This is the Panthers' strongest unit, or stronger unit. The offense doesn't do much, but their defense does play hard, and I think they're going to play really hard this week with Steve Wilks, who is a defensive head coach. I think you have to be ready for these guys to play. Like I said earlier, the last 2 weeks they ranked 27th against the pass in EPA. So they can be exploited that way. It's gonna be important, you know, for Bobby Evans, for Jeremiah Colone to hold up in pass protection, because if you give Stafford time in this game, I think he can perform well.
How much does it sting that Austin Corbett is the Panthers' third highest graded player in terms of PFF grade on the Panthers roster with the 80.4 grade? Wouldn't it be important to have him back this year?
Yeah, it would be really nice to have Austin Corbett for sure. It definitely hurts. You know, maybe he's a player that, you know, the Panthers would want to part with at the trade deadline. You know, you never know. Let's bring Austin Corbett back. It's gonna be an interesting one for sure. Austin Corbett coming back to Los Angeles. I think, like we mentioned earlier in the run game, Darrell Henderson, this is gonna be his time to shine. Jeff Wilson averaged 7.2 yards per carry last week, so hopefully the offense can get going and kind of go into the bye week on a high note.
Yeah, and it's not a true trade off that, you know, hey, you gave Allen Robinson all this money instead of signing Austin Corbett. You know, Corbett signed in the first days of free agency when you were still chasing Von Miller. And, you know, Robinson was, you know, it was well after the fact. So you haven't got the return on investment that you'd like to see from your free agent wide receiver signing, but there's still plenty of time for that to work out over the season. Wrote an article this week about, should the Rams give Allen Robinson the Kenny Galladay treatment? Meaning, like, is it time to give playing time instead to Tutu Atwell or Lance McCutcheon? So definitely worth the read. Think you guys should go check it out if you haven't already. Good call out. Matt Ioannidis, great pass rusher. He was very productive in Washington, extremely underrated player. So we'll see if he, you know, makes a play or two in this game. It'll be interesting to watch. So, and, you know, I think my theme with the offense this week is just that you can't give away points. This offense has a hard enough time scoring. This Panthers defense is, you know, it's still solid. It's still good. It's like average to good, maybe not great, like you've played against the last couple of weeks against the 49ers in Dallas, but they can still make your life tough. And, you know, their defense is going to have to hold up to limit those big plays that they've given up in recent weeks. So the bottom line is don't give away points. So let's get into some closing thoughts. How would you feel, Blaine? Let's just walk down the road a little bit. Rams win this game. They're 500. They get the bye. You maybe get Brian Allen back in week 8. Van Jefferson soon to return after. Maybe you decide to plug in these reinforcements on the offensive line. How do you feel heading into that 49ers game? It would easily be the biggest game of the season so far, right? What's your confidence level?
Yeah, I mean, it would be the biggest game of the season for sure. I'd be that confident going into the 49ers game. I mean, if the Rams want to win the division, I think they have to beat San Francisco. But just with the history of the last couple of years, the current state of the offensive line, I mean, hopefully you get Brian Allen back and stuff like that, but I still, against that 49ers defensive front, I'm not sure how much that'll matter. So I'm not very confident there. I think that the big games come directly after that. I mean, San Francisco is will be a big game, and like I said, like if they want to win the division, that they do have to win that game. But then right after that, you have Tampa Bay, and I think that's the game that they do have to win. Like I said, you know, after the division of Dallas, I think that puts an importance on, you know, sweeping Arizona, and they place Arizona right after Tampa Bay, so that'll be a must win as well. There really are no gimmies after the bye week. They're gonna have to come out ready to play. Sitting at 500, the pressure's gonna be on, and we're gonna find out who this team is really quickly.
Yeah, getting back to 500 kind of gives you a fresh start, a new lease on life for the second half of the year. So, you know, the Rams have their opportunities for the 49ers. I was really impressed by the defensive outing. I think it was one of their best ones, aside from maybe the NFC Championship game. You know, aside from those two big plays that they gave up to Debo Samuel and Jeff Wilson. So, you know, Matthew Stafford left some points on the board too in the red zone. So you had your opportunities, you just didn't get it done. And, you know, you're going to have a second opportunity here. And it's pretty interesting that the Rams play the 49ers so soon after they did. And, you know, whenever Trey Lance is a quarterback, I said, you know, you're probably going to be glad you played the 49ers so early on in the season. But obviously the dynamic is quite a bit different now as we're sitting here in week six. So, Blaine, what's your predictions for this Panthers game? Think the Rams come out on top, or do you think maybe the head coaching change causes some chaos in this contest?
Yeah, I do think the Rams come out on top. The spread, I think, is Rams minus 10. I don't think it's that convincing of a win. I think it's more like a 24-20, 20-16 type game. But I do think Rams come out on top, and, you know, hopefully as a prize for winning, you know, Brian Burns kind of sneaks into the Rams locker room and doesn't hop on the plane back to Charlotte. We get a boost in the passes with Brian Burns out. That'd be really nice. But yeah, I do think Rams get a win here. They take care of business and go into the bye week at 3-3 to keep their season alive.
Sure. Not to put you on the spot, but so Brian Burns would be your top trade target at edge, even above someone like maybe Robert Quinn or any other options. You know, is that just the only position you're looking at edge defender?
Yeah, Brian Burns would be my top target just because of his age and such. I think he is a really good up and coming star edge player in this league. Robert Quinn didn't really enjoy his time after the team moved to Los Angeles. Just wasn't his vibe. I think this offensive line, I think they're going to get healthy. Teams really don't necessarily trade away offensive linemen for the same reason that the Rams kind of need an offensive lineman. You need that depth. It's very hard to get teams to trade away offensive linemen, even depth for that reason. So I think that their best bet is to hope for their offensive line to get healthy over the next 4 to 6 weeks. And you know, as much as I love Justin Hollins, he's much better on first and second down when he can defend against Ronnie. He's not someone that's going to tee off as a pass rusher. Leonard Floyd's kind of having a down year, rushing passer as well. So if they can get a guy like Brian Burns, so this defense can get back to rushing four like they did in the postseason last year when they were having so much success, I think that'd be really good moving forward to the second half of the season when you're playing all these top quarterbacks.
Yeah, Terrell Lewis had a good start to the season. But, you know, I think he's fallen off a little bit in recent weeks. They moved Aaron Donald to the edge last week against the Cowboys to take advantage of that matchup against Tyler Smith. You have Ikwe Oghonu this week, so might be the same opportunity for Donald out on the edge. I think it's interesting to see him out there. I'm not sure he really has the speed. If you start having those, you know, like DJ Moore or Robbie Anderson out on the edge on sweeps or such, but we saw the 49ers as soon as Donald moved to the edge against them when Trent Williams came out and the backup came out and Moore was in the game. They just threw a screen right over his head, and that was a pretty big catch and run by Debo Samuel. So it's going to be something to monitor. The Rams need help at edge defender. Whenever you actually look at the list and you look at who's out there, you know, the options just become so minimal that, you know, Burns is a great one. You know, he's so young that he can be an ascending player and part of this franchise for years to come. I think that's what makes him so attractive. So I'd even throw out someone like Jonathan Greenard out of Houston, even though he's having a bit of a down year as a pass rusher, kind of banged up injury-wise. We'll see what happens, and something to keep an eye on. I'm sure Les Snead has a much longer list than we put together here today. But, Blaine, where can people find you on social media after the game or even during the game? You put out a lot of content in your live tweeting, basically. What posts do you have planned for after the game, and, you know, any other thoughts?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at bgreesackdtr. After the game, like always, I'll have my free plays that change the game. And hopefully this week I'll be writing about a win.
Yep. And then Chris Daniel, Kenneth Arthur, and I will be back after the game for the Instant Reaction podcast. Make sure you subscribe through your favorite podcast app, whether that's, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, so you never miss an episode. I'm sure I'll have a lot to talk about. This game is an absolutely can't lose contest for Los Angeles. They got to get back to 500. And, you know, whether they do or they don't, we'll be here to talk about it. So see you guys next week. Oh, actually, hey, we'll be on the bye next week. We'll see you in 2 weeks. So thanks, everyone.